everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to Revival Town Podcast. I'm Chuck Tate. That's Sandy King.
How you doing, mate?
Doing great.
You know, everyone.
How are you?
Good, good. Probably everyone's going, Happy New Year. What are they on about? Well, this is the first time we have been back.
Our first episode of 2024.
Yeah, because we recorded few. We had a few technical difficulties last week, so we didn't do one last week.
We took a week off. You know what? We've been doing this 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's the first week that we took off. But we did highlight our episode with Jeff Henderson, which was such a great, great conversation about his book Four and what is, you know, what to do next. And anyway, that's what we promoted this past week. But we're ready to go full swing. We're actually recording three today.
Yeah.
And this new episode that we just finished that we're going to introduce you to in a second is a great conversation and a returning guest.
Now we'll
first we got to talk about your YouTube trip.
Wait, for those who are watching on YouTube, Chuck is not in the middle of New York City, just so you know. It's his backdrop. But we are recording this at home.
I'm in a hotel in New York. You do that.
Yeah. Normally, as you know, we would do this in a studio together. But a couple of things happened. My daughter got COVID this week, so I'm not wanting to be out and around people in case I get it and passing it on. Just don't want to do that. But also, we had a bit of a winter storm happen last night. So we've got a few inches. Yeah. You've been out shoveling already.
Man, you know, my son's school was canceled. My daughter's in cosmetology school. It did not get canceled. So I was out early. I knew I was going to have to come to the church and set up this new backdrop.
Yeah.
All the stuff. But yeah, I had to shovel and dig out three vehicles. My vehicle, my daughter's vehicle. She has a friend staying with us and dug her out. So it took me about 15 minutes to get my snowblower started, and I finally got it started, and the snow was so heavy and wet that it just wasn't working that great, so I gave up. But, man, I feel beat down.
Yeah, I'm still in my sweats, just chilling out.
Chilling out, man. Yeah, I'm snowed in at the church now. Again. You know what's crazy is when I got up, it was snowing. We probably got about 3 inches. And on my way to the church, it was raining.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're saying there's going to be like way more this afternoon as well. So perhaps we need to get these.
Then it's going to freeze and get to like
minus
150 below.
Yeah. So that's why we're in separate areas. But you mentioned something that we could not carry on without talking about my trip to Las Vegas with my boys. We went to see U2 at the Sphere. And if you have not seen this building, just go online, just go to Google and just type in U2 at the Sphere. This thing blew my mind. Like, you know me, Chuck, it takes a lot to impress me, right? Because I'm around creative a lot. And I have never seen or heard anything like this before. Now, U2 are great. I've seen them in concert before. Incredible, right? But the way they put this event on within this thing called the Sphere, like, I'll try and explain it to you. So it's like...
Well, it's a stadium, for one. The Sphere is a stadium.
Yeah, 18,000 like people. It's a ball, yeah. And when you're sitting there, so it's very steep. Like, it's very steep.
What is the seating capacity again?
18,000.
18,000.
So they do three shows a week. For like 4 months, 5 months, right? And so when you sit in there, and so we were like four rows from the top, right? But I'd read reviews where they were saying the higher the better. Yes, you're not seeing like Bono's face, you know, if you're right up front, but everything's on these screens anyway.
Right, we don't want to see his face anyway. Yeah.
but then the whole dome wraps around you, obviously, and that is one massive LED screen from top to bottom, right? It wraps all the way around, about three quarters of the way around. It doesn't go all the way around the back of you, but to the edges and all the way to the ceiling and above, right? It wraps. So when you're sitting that high, you get to see everything. So for instance, at one point, we were looking out and they'd created the illusion that where you were sitting, you could see Vegas from where you were sitting. So it had the parking lot and then it had the strip and everything. But as if you had a camera outside, this is what you were seeing. But during the song, they eliminated every building in Vegas. To by the end of the song, it is just a desert. What it was before, before the they built Vegas. Come to find out, they actually eliminated every building by when it was built. So as the buildings are going down, that was the newest one, and then the next one, and it would go all the way to the first building that ever was built. Then they go into where the streets have no names, with this flag burning in the desert. And but here's
you
crazy.
Sent me some videos and pictures. It was crazy.
But here's the crazy thing: Bono was about to go into Streets Have No Names, and he's kneeling, and he is telling the prodigal son story. And then it goes into it. I mean, it was incredible, and there was loads of stuff like the arena itself. It's connected to the Venetian. I've never been to Vegas, so I was like, "This is crazy!" Like, they've got in the Venetian, they've got gondolas, and like there's a mall, but through the mall, there's boats that you can get on, and there's guys like
a gondola, yeah.
And so it just blew my mind, just amazing. Gordon Ramsay has a restaurant on every corner, it seems. I mean, it was pretty wild. The boys, we had a great time with the boys. We had a laugh, just getting up to stuff. And so it was a real good thing. The only downside was 3 days before, mate, 3 days before, someone steals my identity online.
Oh, yeah. I remember
I got my credit card stolen. And so someone bought 3 tickets for an LA team. So that whole trip, I didn't have my...
By the way, I need to tell you about my trip. I went to LA, went to a Clippers game.
So stupid. but I didn't have a credit card. You know, we use it for everything and then pay it off every month. So that was just weird, like... trying to do stuff.
Although I feel so bad for you. But I'm glad you got to go. And I mean, you got to watch out for scammers. So check this out. Yeah. This morning, I received this text message. The USPS, United States Postal Service, the USPS package has arrived at the warehouse and cannot be delivered due to incomplete address information. Please confirm your address in the link within 12 hours. Then there is a link. And then it says, please reply to Y, then exit the MSS, open the SMS activation link again, or copy the link to Safari browser and open it. The U.S. Postal team wishes you a wonderful day. And it looks legit. And I just wrote back, then why are you texting me from a Hotmail account?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Nice try, though. And then I put, have fun in jail. And I didn't hear back. They didn't write me back.
I wonder why.
To say, no, we have your package. But anyway, so speaking of you two and creativity, we have a very creative guest on today. She's a returning guest. She's just released a new kids book that is remarkable.
Yes. Yeah, we're really, really excited for you to hear this. Elizabeth has been on before, and she has a way of communicating to kids, especially when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. And you'll hear more about what she's going to be doing as well in the future. So why don't you sit back, relax, enjoy a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and listen to Elizabeth.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
All right. everyone. It's time for another conversation on Revival Town Podcast. Our guest today, Elizabeth Urbanowitz, works full-time on developing comparative worldview and apologetics resources for children. Her goal is to prepare the next generation to be lifelong critical thinkers and, most importantly, lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. She's a returning guest to talk about her new release book right here, What is Truth? Just for Kids. Can't wait to talk to her. Elizabeth, welcome back to Revival Town.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today. I really enjoyed our last time together, so I was really excited to come on into the podcast again.
Well, thank you so much. And just a month or so ago, Chuck and I received your book, What is Truth, in the mail, which was a great surprise. I always love it when people send books that we're going to be...
Book mail.
but I really want to dig into this and because this is really written really well for kids. Yes, it's a kid's book, but also we'll get into it because I feel the artwork is incredible in this as well. So we'll talk about that. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about you. I know you've been on the podcast before, but we have a lot of people, new people that are listening. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, if you could.
Yeah. So as you gentlemen said so well, my name is Elizabeth Urbanowitz, which is not an easy last name to get correct. So good job there. And I started
I've been working on it for 2 days.
I'm so proud of you, Chuck. That was a well worthwhile investment. But I started off my professional career as an elementary teacher in a Christian school. And teaching is how the Lord has gifted me. I love teaching. I loved getting to teach in a Christian school where I could teach the students the whole truth. And several years into my teaching experience, teaching fourth grade and then third grade, I noticed an issue that these students, they came from Christian homes where their parents were intentional at discipleship. I'm passionate about God and His Word, so I was giving them a biblically based education all day long. And most of them were fairly involved in a local church, but they were still rapidly absorbing ideas from the culture without any question. And that's when, after a few years of teaching, I had like this aha moment of, you know what, God is unchanging, His Word is unchanging, but what is changing is the culture around us. And because of the large quantities of information that our children receive, discipleship looks a little bit different. You know, the roots, the foundations of it are still the same, but the way in which we need to teach our children to carefully evaluate the just the massive quantity of information that comes their way, it looks a little bit different today than it did 40, 50, 60 years ago. So I just started teaching the students in my classroom just some basic careful thinking skills about how can you evaluate these ideas that come your way, line them up with scripture, and, you know, to determine what's true and what's not true. And it was really the students, not me, you know, they just ran with the ideas and they started implementing these thinking skills in every area of life, you know, from conversations they were having on the playground to what they were learning in different subjects in school to, you know, the TV shows they were watching at home. And so people started to notice this transformation and people started contacting me from all over saying, how can we get our hands on what you're doing? And I was like, I'm a third grade teacher. I am not a Christian publishing house. You know, like, I don't know, like, just, you know, read some books, take some classes. I'm sure you'll be fine. And everyone was like, no, just contact us when you have this published. So several years into doing this with my own students, I stepped back from teaching, got a master's degree in Christian apologetics, and started Foundation Worldview, which is a company that's designed to equip Christian adults with the tools that they need to get our kids to carefully evaluate every idea they encounter. And so that's how we have Foundation Worldview today.
Wow.
Love it. It's so important.
And this is an organization that you have that isn't just obviously the US, but globally you are helping people. And I always love asking this question, but do you, what is it different for you? Let me try and word it this way. Is it different for you when you're talking to someone in a different country than in the States because of the topic and the cultures that are in those countries as well? Do you find that a little bit different?
Yes, well, that's one thing I always want to be very, very careful of. I don't want to have the audacity to think that what I'm seeing here in the US is then automatically going to transfer over to a different culture. And so that's actually been one of the surprising things for me in starting this company is that I was thinking, you know, we're probably just going to have US-based customers, but we actually have customers now on every continent except for Antarctica. And so we're always telling people, you know, make sure that you're looking at these materials carefully before you purchase them. Yeah. Because we want to make sure that, you know, we're not just producing something that is only relatable here in the US. But, you know, as with anything, you know, it's created mostly by people that live in the US. So there are going to be some things that don't translate to other cultures, but we try to be really careful even in the examples that we use in our materials, you know, that we're not just using a sports example. Like, you know, like we probably don't use as many baseball examples as we do soccer. And, you know, soccer is called football, you know, in different areas of the world, but we want to try to
speak in Andy's language. You're speaking.
That's good. See, you are really with it. That's good. Okay. We can carry on the conversation now, Chuck. That's good.
Pass that test.
Oh, that's good.
Well, you know, I have a question for you, Elizabeth, before we get into your book. As a pastor, one thing that I've seen, and I want to know how you've seen it as well. I mean, even Christian subcultures are shifting, and there's been a lot of quote Christian pastors, Christian celebrities, churches, people that are almost altering their biblical worldview, dismissing scripture. And it's so scary. Obviously the word predicted this would happen, so it's not surprising, but it's definitely concerning. Is that something that you have seen even since the last time you've been on? Have you noticed this in Christian circles? You're trying to raise up Christian parents to disciple their kids, to give them a biblical worldview, but now there are certain churches that don't necessarily believe all the Bible.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something I've seen even on interviews. You know, sometimes I'll find myself on an interview and I'll say something and by the host's face, I'll be like, oh, they definitely did not agree with that. Or, you know, like, oh, that was a little bit uncomfortable. Because I think for so long, you know, we've been blessed, especially here in the US, you know, in other Western cultures as well, but especially here in the US, that for so long, being a Christian, you know, even a Bible believing Christian could be somewhat comfortable. You know, I don't think it could ever have been like very comfortable because, you know, Jesus said, you know, the world has hated me, it will also hate you. So, but I think compared to most countries throughout, you know, throughout when Christianity started, we've had it pretty easy. We're seeing for the first time in a while where faithfully following scripture actually has a cost to it, which is exactly what Jesus said. You know, Jesus said, you know, if someone would follow me, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, you know, to follow me. So like Christianity, you know, it really is a religion that costs us everything. And I think for the first time we're seeing, it's starting to actually cost us something in the US. And so, yes, I have seen, you know, more of a shift in certain churches. And I think it can be a scary thing. I think it can be intimidating. And it's definitely something that we should keep at the forefront of our minds. But I think we should be encouraged in knowing that, you know, God is building his kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail. So even if we see others drifting, we can know confidently that the kingdom of heaven will continue to go forward and that God is building his church and will continue to until Jesus returns.
Yeah.
Boom. Mic drop. Yes. Amen. Amen.
So interview good. Done.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
Great, guys.
are you just to come off of what Chuck's saying, obviously the work that you do and the culture that we are currently in, especially as Chuck mentioned, people's views are wavered, and obviously the big thing for you is all about the truth of the Word of God, and the resources that you're giving out, you know, you have so many different things that you guys do. Is there a particular area that you are seeing, wow, a lot of people are really wanting this book or this study? Are you noticing anything like a trend with that?
Yes, actually, the book that we're here to talk about today is a result of what we have heard, like the just the feedback that we've gotten from people who have used our curriculums, let me say that clearly, in that this concept of truth, and then we actually have a second book coming out that's going to be the question, are truths the same as feelings? This is what parents are saying, you know, is so important, because we've had a number of parents write into our ministry that have said that as we've taught, you know, their kids through our curriculums of discerning the difference between an objective truth and a subjective feeling, that their kids have been prepared to encounter things culturally that they didn't even think about preparing them for yet. We've had a number of parents tell us, you know, that even at the ages of like kindergarten, first and second grade, after their kids have gone through our materials, when they encounter something in the culture like transgenderism, you know, and the parents are kind of like flummoxing, like, how do I, you know, talk with my child about this? The child already has the tools to say, you know what? That's really sad because this person is believing their feelings of who they feel that they are rather than the truth that their body is revealing to them of who God designed them to be. And so that's even the reason that we created this book, because so many people have said, you know, all these first five lessons that you have in your biblical worldview curriculum are so foundational, you know, it prepared my child for this situation, this situation, this situation. We're like, let's create a picture book then, you know, so we can even reach a wider audience.
So good. Wow. Well, let's talk about the book.
Dive in.
Because, okay, I'm a bit of a creative. So, and I mentioned it already. Like if you are going through a Barnes & Noble or a bookstore, this is going to jump out at you very quickly. Because not only is it written so well for students, for kids, right? This is a kids' book. But the graphics and the artwork is beautifully done. Like, you know,
excellent illustration.
I think there's a lot of, we've spoken to a lot of different authors that have done beautiful artwork as well as great content. And I think I appreciate that. I know this sounds crazy because you obviously didn't do all the drawings, but
I yes, and but, I need to be very clear about that. I'm not the artist. Yeah.
But I do want to bring this up that, you know, I just feel God created us to create, right? He gives us different things, whether that's music, spoken word, book writing, artistry. And sometimes I feel like a lot of things are done within Christian world without the excellence, right? Yes. And I hate always poking the bear, but like, for instance, Christian films, me and Chuck have this debate all the time. Like, it is getting better, right? It definitely is getting better, but there's still that, like, why can't we just do it with excellence like Hollywood? Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Not that we want to be like Hollywood as in what they believe, but as in the excellence, the quality, the excellence. And I tell you what, this book, from the writing to the artwork, is done with excellence. It is really, really good. Chuck, what do you, I know we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I'm going to read this. Join Sebastian and Greg on a thrilling intellectual adventure in Elizabeth Urbanowitz's captivating children's book, vibrantly brought to life by Miranda Duncan's illustrations. And that is the truth. So Miranda Duncan did an excellent job, of course. You did an excellent job writing it. It's for kids. It's appealing to kids. So, yes, the content is excellent. It's what they need. It's what a parent is looking for when it comes to training up their child according to the scriptures. But this is illustrated to communicate on their level. And I think that's what sets apart from a lot of quote Christian books. So I think just job well done all the way around.
Let me ask.
Well, thank you for even noticing that, because that's something that God has been so faithful at in helping our ministry with. Because, you know, when I started this organization, I didn't have a job. Like, I had quit my job to do this. So I didn't have an income. And I was like, how am I going to do this? But one thing that I'm very passionate about, and that now my entire team is passionate about, is that if something has Jesus's name on it, you know, it doesn't need to have bells and whistles and be flashy, but it needs to be the most high quality thing that we see that day, because, you know, God is the creator and sustainer of the universe. You know, he's the ultimate creator. And so I just started praying when I started this company. I was like, God, like, I want these materials to be excellent, but excellence does come with an investment. You know, like, what am I going to do? And the Lord literally dropped, like, a local businessman came and he just offered me $100,000 to start the company. And I was like, wow. Oh, my goodness gracious, you know, and that was just like God's kindness, you know, in that. And even like with this book, like, you know, just Miranda Duncan, oddly enough, when she created this, she was a senior in high school. Wow. She's now a freshman in college, but I just found her and I was like, this is the girl that I want to do our illustrations. So just praise God, you know, for his faithful provision, because, you know, that's not false humility when I say literally, like, this book, none of our other products would exist without God's kindness and just being faithful to provide, as we've been like, okay, we really think that, you know, if God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, we need to create really quality resources, you know, not breaking the bank, not bells and whistles, but just quality resources.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think the challenge that you had, and I want us to dig into this a little bit, is how you wrote it with excellence, right? But writing it for a kid, and, you know, like I said to Chuck, we were joking last night. I said, Chuck, you better read through that book. You might not get through it in time. This was last night. But the way that you wrote it and got to the point quick, it is really good. Can you tell us a bit about your creative process on how you wrote it, and that concept of, I can't do, you know, 10,000 words on this book or whatever it takes. Like, I've got to make it so that we get the point out very quickly. Can you tell us a bit about that process?
Yeah. So for you or any of your listeners who are very creative, my process might actually crush your spirit. I'm sorry. I'm not super good at being creative, which is why I have creative people around me. But the one thing, the one area in which I am gifted and do have knowledge, is I understand how a child's mind works and how God has designed the mind to work. So as we were thinking through this book, what we first sat down with was like, okay, what is the one thing that we want kids to walk away with? Because, you know, if we think of 10 things we want kids to walk away with, they're going to come away with nothing, because that's way too many. You know, even like 3 things for a picture book, like, that's just going to be way too long. So we're like, what is the one thing? And the one thing we wanted the kids to walk away with was a solid definition of truth and an understanding of how to use that definition in the world around them. So the way we define truth in that book is just very, very simple. Is just truth is what is real. And so we said, okay, that is our main thing. Like, every single page in this book needs to point back to that definition, so that every page is building on top of that. So then we said, okay, truth is what is real. What's a real life example we can give? And so the real life example that we give to try to make it easy for kids is we say, well, let's pretend your mom walked in the room and she found her favorite lamp broken on the floor. And she wanted to know what happened, you know, what the truth is. If she says, tell me the truth, what does she mean? And then we walk them through, she wants to know what really happened. That's because truth is what is real. And then we have them play a game. And so that was the next thing. We were like, okay, we're targeting this to like 4 to 7 or 8 year olds. With the way that God has designed 4 to 8 year olds is they need their bodies involved. That anytime we're trying to teach them like an intellectual concept, we need something physical attached, where you don't typically think of a book, you know, as having something physical attached aside from the pages. But we're like, okay, if we can give them hand motions to do while they're reading the book, this is going to really get them engaged, but it's also going to help with the way that just God has designed, you know, the different neurons to work in the brain. This is going to really help what we're teaching stick. And so then we thought through, okay, what can we do? So we thought through some motions. Okay, anytime something is true, they're going to spread out their arms. Anytime something's not true, they're going to cross their arms. And then after that, we thought of, okay, what are examples that are both understandable to kids, you know, they're not above their heads, but are also going to be fun for illustrations, you know? So we batted around so many different ideas, but, you know, you've seen some of the illustrations. So for all of the not true sentences, we wanted them to be really funny so that hopefully the kids, and if not the kids, at least the parents would laugh. And so we thought, well, what would be funny things to illustrate? Oh, a dog flying in the air. That would be funny. So puppies fly in the air. Or we thought like, oh, a snowman on fire. yeah, you know, like snow is very hot. So we just tried to think through what would be fun things and engaging things for the kids. And then at the end, we wrap it all up. We bring it back to the, can you remember what truth is? And we have them practice the definition, because again, every page we were pointing back to, is this pointing back to our main point that truth is what is real? So I know that's probably like very logical and not super fun for very creative people, but that was the process behind the book.
Well, no, I appreciate that, because I think with creative, where creatives lose it, I think, is they try to do so much with what they're trying to bring across. But the the true creatives, the guys who are really good at it, are focused on what they do, the one thing that they do, mm-hmm. and they hit it hard. And you know, we talk about Apple and Disney and these organizations that are good at brand. I'm not on about what they stand for, but their brand.
Right.
They're good because they're focused on what they do.
Right.
And this definitely, you guys are focused not just on the writing, but also on the creative as well. The imagery goes with what you're writing about. And for a child, that's really important. Have you had feedback from parents on this since you've had it out? And what's been the feedback like?
Yeah, it's been really good. So we did try to get feedback even before. Again, I'm a very logic brain person, which is why I have great creative people around me. But even to figure out the structure of the book, the size of the book, we had all the people on our team who have children between the ages of 2 and 10 pull all of their kids' favorite picture books. And we just had like a brainstorm session. Like, what do all of these books have in common? Like, why do the kids keep coming back to these books? And then once we had that down, we actually had a brainstorming session of like, okay, pull out all your books that are not ripped. And so we pulled out all the books that were not ripped and are like, what is common in the dimension of the sizing that the pages aren't going to be easily torn? So we did that. And then we actually had everybody on our team, they took their kids through the pages of the book before it was even in print. And so we got similar feedback from our team. With what we're getting now is that kids want to come back to the book. That the girl that runs our social media, she said, well, tonight is the 15th night at dinner that my kids were like, let's read the truth book. And so we're like, great. Like that's exactly what we want is we want them to be coming back to that, you know, like that's our desire. And yeah, that they're not even thinking about like, oh, I'm actually learning something, but that they're actually just enjoying it and being engaged in it while they are at the same time learning something that is so important and so valuable.
That's brilliant.
Well, for everybody listening, especially all the parents that have kids, perhaps they're wondering, what's the target demographic as far as age? What, who is the book for?
Yeah, so we say 4 to 7 year olds, it could work 4 to 8 year olds. You know, even some kids older could be fine with it, but the way that we're talking is probably more suited to that 4 to 7 year old range, as well as the characters. You know, the characters are kind of like, some people call them monsters. They're kind of just like fluffy creatures, but they're friendly. If your kids are scared of monsters, they have smiles on their faces. But yeah, the 4 to 7 range is our target audience.
I love it. And I think you guys nailed it. One of the core values of the church that I lead is same message, different language. We want to communicate the word of God in a way that people can understand. Of course, we're going to do it with love, but they have to get it. And if we were in a different country, we would communicate it different. Otherwise, nobody gets it. And if nobody gets it, then the message is meaningless. Right. So I think you guys have absolutely nailed it. It is communicated in a language that 4 through 7 year olds will not only understand, but as Andy said, because of the creativity and the illustrations, they will engage with. And that the result of that is, let's read the truth book again. Let's read it again. And let's read it again. It's so, so important. I can't wait for your next one.
We're really excited for that one as well. That one is going to kind of build on the foundation of what is truth and then bring in, you know, like what are emotions and what is God's purpose for emotions? And are they the same as truths? Which if you don't know the answer to that, no, they're not completely identical. Sometimes emotions point us to truth and sometimes they do not.
Are you obviously focused on this age group? Are you, has there been talks of, hey, perhaps we need to do an older book, you know, for perhaps that preteen type age group? Has that been a conversation or not?
Well, we do have curriculums out. So we have our curriculums. They come for kids 4 and up, 8 and up, and 10 and up. We're not sure yet if we're going to branch into those books yet, just because we want to make sure that if we do it really well.
Yeah.
So that's just going to require like a lot more research into that, because actually as a teacher, specifically an elementary teacher, I found great value in picture books that a lot of times people just think like, oh, picture books, they're just for really little kids, where even older kids, you know, up to the ages of like 10, 11, sometimes even 12, really enjoy picture books, but there's not a whole bunch of picture books on the market that are actually targeted towards that age group. So we may consider that, but that's something in the distant future, as it's going to require a lot more research before we do anything like that.
Are you thinking, you've obviously mentioned the next book, but are you thinking of a collection of books that you guys are going to be looking into down the road?
We are exploring that. It remains to be seen. We're probably going to give it, you know, another 6 months after the second book is released to see, like, is this something that's really, that more books like this would be valuable? Because we knew that this first one especially, and then the second one follow-up, which builds right along it, are really, really valuable. And our goal at Foundation Worldview is, like, never to, like, flood the market or cause competition. Like, people will write in and be like, why don't you create high school curriculum? And I'm like, because we literally have three different organizations that we can point you to with full confidence saying they create great high school resources. So we're not like, how can we cause competition? We're like, hey, what isn't being done that would be really beneficial for Christian parents and for the church at large? And let's do that. So it just remains to be seen. We'll see.
Love it. Well, I think what excites me about the book beyond kids learning about what truth is in a world that says there is no absolute truth. What I love about this is the fact that this is going to get into the homes of some parents who need it, mm-hmm. not just the kids, but there are going to be, as far as what a great gift mm-hmm. for kids. And I want to encourage everybody that's watching and listening to go to amazon.com, order a few of these and give them out and let God do his work. That's what's really mm-hmm. excited me is, yeah. parents that sit here and read it with their kids, and it's the opposite of what's being blasted in the media and on social media. So it's foundational, even though it's geared for kids, it's foundational for a parent.
Yep. And picture books are a great way even for us as adults to learn. My first year of teaching, I taught science to all three sections of fourth grade. I am not a science-minded person. So many concepts that were presented in the teacher's manual, I was like, I don't even understand this. How am I going to teach it to the kids? So what I do is I park myself in a certain section of the children's section of the library and take out all the books on that subject and I'd read them. And by the time I'd read, you know, four or five books on the topic, I was like, okay, now I get it. Now I can teach this to my fourth graders. So it's a great teaching tool. You know, books are great teaching tools, even for us as adults.
And Chuck, you mentioned it, just thinking about this. A lot of these kids won't be able to read. And so the parent has got to read it to them. And so you're right, Chuck, what you were just saying, that, you know, we've got to pray for not just the kid that's hearing this, but the parent who's having to read it to them. And if they're, like you mentioned, you know, are asking for this book over and over, that truth then gets into the parent as well, that may not be a believer or may really have trouble with some of the things that are happening in culture right now. So that's really, it's a great tool, not just for the kid. So good.
That's what our hope is.
Yeah. Well, how can people connect with you? And not just for the book, but, you know, I know there's a lot of pastors and leaders that listen to this podcast that you have mentioned curriculum. Before you answer the question of how they can get it, can you just dig a little bit deeper into what curriculums you have?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like I've mentioned, our goal is we want to equip Christian adults, whether they be parents, Christian educators, church leaders, to have the tools they need to get kids to carefully evaluate the ideas that they have. And so we have materials for ages, you know, 4 through 12 different materials. And we have one track that we call our biblical thinking track. And we have a biblical worldview curriculum for kids 4+, a comparative worldview curriculum for kids 8+, and then what we call our careful thinking curriculum for kids 10+. Then we have our biblical literacy track, which for kids 4+, we have an attributes of God curriculum. For kids 8+, we have we call it the studying the Bible curriculum. It's a basics in, like, basic Bible study skills so that kids know how to pick up scripture and soundly read, interpret, and apply it. We don't have our 10+ curriculum in that track filled out. And then the new track that we're starting will probably be eventually end up being our most popular one. We're calling it our biblical sexuality. And so, Lord willing, this year we're coming out with a curriculum we call God's Good Design for kids 4+, where we just go through what is design, how can we tell design when we see it, and then what is God's good design for our bodies, for our minds, for marriage, for family, and then how do we see sin corrupting that good design? So we cover, you know, in very basic appropriate, kid appropriate terminology, sure. You know, things like abuse or pornography or transgenderism or homosexuality and things like that. And then we cover, you know, how do we respond when we see things like this? How do we respond as God would want us to respond? And what is our ultimate hope? You know, that when Jesus returns, one day God's good design for us will last forever. So those are our curriculums that we have. And our goal is just, yeah, to equip parents and Christian educators and church leaders.
Great. That's really good. So how can people get a hold of some of this?
Yes. Well, just like my last name, which is incredibly long, I started an organization that has an incredibly long name as well. So if you can remember the name Foundation Worldview, again, that's Foundation Worldview, and you just go to foundationworldview.com, you can easily find out all the information about all the different resources that we have available through curriculum and podcasts and webinars and book clubs, things like that.
Great.
Love it. Parents, go check it out, Foundation Worldview. And is it .org or .com?
.com.
Yep, .com. Foundationworldview.com. And of course, go on Amazon and get the kids' book, What is Truth? You will not be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, would you take us into a little time of prayer, just praying for obviously what you're putting in this book and what you're wanting to see, and also with the folks that are going to be not only hearing it but reading it as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We just thank you for who you are and for your grace in reconciling us to yourself. And Lord, right now, I just lift up Andy and Chuck and all of the listeners right now. Lord, I thank you for them. Father, if there's anyone listening who has not yet repented of their sin and turned to you, I ask that today would be the day for that, Lord. And just for everyone listening who has already been reconciled to you, Lord, I ask that that you would just give them wisdom with the children that you've placed in their care, whether they be biological children, adoptive children, children within the body of Christ, children in their neighborhood. Lord, I ask that you would guide them, that they would have a passion for helping the next generation understand who you are, and just your good design for us to be reconciled to you. Lord, I ask that you would give them wisdom and just, Lord, just ask that each and every day, Father, that we would seek you through seeking truth, that just as the world throws so many ideas at us, Lord, that are contrary to who you are and what you have revealed, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be quick to convict us when we believe things and live things out that are not true, that are not according to your design. And Lord, I ask that in all of this, our motivation would be just the affections of our heart being stirred towards you and a desire to honor you and bring you glory. We love you, God, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you for sharing and also for creating this book. And, I run the Dream Center. We talked about that. And this is definitely going to be a book. We have an after school program with young kids from 4 or 5 all the way up to high school. This will be a book that will be used many, many times in the near future, and when the other one comes out as well.
And we're going to have you back when the other one comes out.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love being on with you guys. It's always fun.
Well, we're going to get a little crazy now. We're going to do the big three, all right? These are the Woo-hoo. Three questions that everyone wants to know. I mean, everyone's asking. And so we're just going to ask it, right?
Okay, let's hope I have answers.
Yeah. Do you want me to start, Chuck, or?
Sure. Okay. Go ahead, Andy.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
What is, now this, obviously we've talked about the creative on this, so this is where this is driving this. But what is your favorite cartoon to watch?
Oh, that is a really good question.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
That is a really good question. I would have to say at the moment, I really like Bluey.
Okay.
I really think, I know that's probably really weird for someone in their 30s to say, and I don't even have any children of my own. It's not like I sit down and watch that regularly, but when I'm with nieces and nephews and friends' kids, I love to watch Bluey just because because I'm passionate about the way kids learn, Bluey is done almost in a very like Mr. Rogers style, where it's not super fast moving and it doesn't move, you know, between angles of, you know, the illustrations very quickly. And it's always trying to teach some sort of a lesson, which I would say so far every episode I've seen, I'm like, yeah, that's actually a true lesson. Like that is so different than most cartoons nowadays. So I'd have to give a vote for Bluey.
Okay. All right.
All right. Love it. Love it. I remember on, man, when I was a kid, Saturday mornings, Andy, you remember this? Saturday mornings were dedicated to just cartoons. You get up, you watch cartoons, eat cereal, read the back of the box.
I don't remember that because I wasn't in America back then.
Okay, yeah.
Now,
that's right. That's right.
In the UK, so. Saturday mornings, they would have these shows on the BBC where it would be like they would invite kids in to the studio, so it's like a live kids studio.
Okay, yeah.
And they would have different kids celebs come in to interact, and they do games. So every Saturday morning, that for 2 hours or so, it would be that. And then obviously there was football on as well. You know what I mean? I mean that's the way it is. You know, even like I remember early morning on a Saturday, there would be a show that was like a football clinic for kids. So you'd watch it and it'd be like just kids learning to play football. I mean, we're crazy about it, right? So yeah, right. Anyway, that'd be my Saturday
and
month.
When you say football, you're referring to soccer, like Elizabeth alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
But the other show sounds a little bit like Captain Kangaroo here in the States. And I remember when I was a kid watching the Bozo show and there was lots of games and celebrities and people, things like that. Okay, my question. Elizabeth, you live in Georgia. And you mentioned football being soccer, but of course in Georgia, the Bulldogs football is huge. They didn't make it to the national championship, which was just recently where undefeated Michigan defeated Washington. Are you a Georgia Bulldogs fan? Are you not into football at all? You prefer soccer?
So I'm a recent transplant to Georgia. So I don't really follow Georgia sports. I'm not a super big sports person. However, growing up, I grew up in New York, just outside of New York City. Ooh. And my dad was a huge Yankees fan. Like it was like so much so that like anytime we wanted my dad's attention when he was kind of zoned out and we'd be like, dad, you know, he's not paying attention. All you'd have to say was, I love the Mets. And all of a sudden my dad would be like, what? Like, okay, now that I have your attention. growing up, I paid a lot of attention to the Yankees simply because of the house that I grew up in. Now I could not have told you how they did last year. So sorry to disappoint. Not a huge
it's all good. It's all good.
That's good. Well, final question. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I moved to Georgia is because I love to be outside. So I love going outside for walks. I love bike riding. I love playing games. I love doing things with other people. Something I'm really passionate about is just living life in the body of Christ, you know, truly living as a community of believers. So pretty much love anything that involves other people. I used to, when I lived just outside of Chicago, I used to like to crochet because you need lots of scarves, you know, when you're living in Illinois, as you guys both know. But haven't done that so much now that I'm down in Georgia because the weather doesn't call for it so much down here. But basically most things outside and with other people.
That's cool. Excellent. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on to Revival Town today. I know it's not the last. You've been on twice already, and as you produce this amazing curriculum and books, let us know, because this is such a crucial ministry at this time in our culture. So we just want to thank you for coming on to Revival Town today.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Cheering you on.
Thanks.
Mixing it up. Happy New Year. We got some new outro music.
Wasn't that good?
The Mixmaster is in the house. Mix Maestro Andy King. Get the little pads going in the background. Yeah. Smooth.
Oh man.
You got your book coming out. It's called Mix Maestro. How to create pads for podcasts. The podcast. I'm going to stop. But no, hey, that was a great conversation with Elizabeth Urbanowitz. Good stuff. Thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on. And everyone that's watching or listening, yeah, make sure you go in and get the book for your kids or for your grandkids or your nieces and nephews. So
such a topic that's needed. And, you know, my daughter just got back from Passion. She went to Passion down in Atlanta.
And, Very chill with that big banner.
Oh, you know whose banner that is? Martin Smith's.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I was going to guess Martin.
Yeah, when they went on tour, he sells those on tour now. You buy these flags. And Kerry Joe bought the Holy, Holy, Holy flag, and there it was.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
so cool.
We need to get him back on soon.
Yeah, let's do it. We need to get Kerry Joe on.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Passion, there was this guy that spoke, and I'll be honest with you, I had not heard of him before. I was watching the live stream. A guy called Jonathan Pokluda. I know I've messed that up.
Yes.
Pokluda. He's a pastor.
Sit back and relax and listen to this conversation with Jonathan.
Was listening, and he used an illustration. He was preaching on, are there many ways to God, right? Because we want to accept everyone, and we want to, you know, don't want to offend anyone. And so he came out and he's like, this is my topic, this is what I'm going to be telling you about. And so for an hour or so he went, and he was incredible, and he used a brilliant illustration. He says, you know, last year him and his daughter went to India, and while they were there, she got really sick to the point where they had to get home, right? And he said, if we'd have showed up at the airport and said to the people at the airport, we need to get home, and they turned to him and said, well, just go to any of the gates and you'll get there, right? Go to any gate you want, and get on the plane, you'll get there, right? We would never do that. And one of the reasons, not only is we wouldn't get there, but you could then land in a different country where it's dangerous, say, for a woman to be there, or a culture where they're not accepting of her, or they don't have medical...
Oh, hey, welcome to Iran.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they don't have medical... the right medical stuff for her. We would not do that. You want to make sure that you are getting to the right gate on time and being able to get on the right plane. And I thought, man, that'll preach. And it, obviously he was. I mean, you know, but
he should preach in Passion.
Yeah.
But that's good.
But it was so good. And today's conversation was all really about that, about the truth of the word of God and not getting on the wrong plane or just going to any gate, you know,
Love it.
Hoping that you'll get there, you know. So
way to bring us into a landing full circle, man. That was good.
Hey, man, I tell you what, you know, I'm always here to help. You know what I'm saying? Always here to help the conversation, Chuck.
Right. You know.
You know what I'm doing right now?
I'm guessing looking for Tate and his mate music.
I'm looking for the word. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready. So it's 2024. This is my first chance to guess this word that's known in the UK, British word, rhyming cockney slang, but it's not familiar in the US. So I'm Tate. Your mate, I gotta guess. This is Tate's mate.
And you know what? This one, I think you're gonna like this one because how do I say this?
No London Calling. I don't hear any London Calling. What's going on? Yeah.
Do you not hear it? Okay. Turn your hearing aid up, man. Okay. Oh man. this actually came in from one of our top fans who is also from your church.
Oh.
All right. And I'm going to mess up the name. I think
I'm going to guess it's Susan.
Susan. There we go. Yeah. Susan.
Susan Woodkey.
Susan.
She is a Revival Town podcast super fan. Susan, we love you.
Oh, and you know what?
So I got to be honest.
Yeah.
I clicked on her email and then I clicked off it because it was just addressed to you. Because we get there any email that comes to Revival Town podcast, we both receive it.
Yeah.
But I did not cheat. I thought about it, but I didn't. Okay. I didn't cheat.
Susan, I think he's cheating. But here's the deal. She has taken her Britishness up to a new level because she has just got BritBox, which is a British version of Netflix, to be able to watch all these British shows.
Wow.
So we went back.
Look at the influence you're having.
And you know who got her into BritBox was Roger.
I was just going to say.
Who was on our show way back. And
who just found out he has a sister in England.
I know, and he's going to see her in January.
Yeah. It is January.
Yeah, in a few weeks. So she sent this in and she said, I saw this on a show. And so, because I need all the help. We've been going 3 years. I'm trying to find these British things from everywhere, even if it's someone from your church. But this is one that I remember. Okay, so I'll put it into context, and I'm going to put it into context in the way that she wrote it.
Well, what's the word? You're going to put it...
I'm going to put it into context. Are you ready?
Well, okay.
I'm going to get... Wow. Here we go. I'm going to get a 99 on the beach.
Say it again.
I'm going to get a 99 on the beach.
I'm going to get a 99 on the beach.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a 99 on the beach.
99. You are not going to get this.
And on the beach, would you have a 99 somewhere that's not a beach?
Yeah. You can have a 99 anywhere. But it really, really is good on the beach.
Is it a drink?
No.
Ah, what?
No.
I thought for sure. So it's not like a pina colada, or it's not any kind of coffee drink or tea. A 99. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to get a 9. I'm going to have a 9. I'm going to have a nap?
No. Although you could, but it's not called a 99.
Yeah. What about an umbrella?
No. You're just grabbing a bike.
Oh. Wow, Susan, you stumped me.
A 99 is an ice cream.
Oh.
Now let me explain the 99 though.
Yeah.
The 99, remember back in the day when I bought different Cadbury's chocolates in?
Mm-hmm.
And I would bring in...
You sent me Cadbury chocolates for Christmas. Thank you.
Did you like them?
I love them.
The heroes. Yep.
But I'm on a 21-day Daniel fast right now. And I have to wait a little bit longer before I can partake of them some more.
Yes. Yeah. Well, a 99 ice cream is an ice cream. So like a cone with, you know, ice cream in it with a Cadbury's flake in the ice cream. So it's just sticking out. So it's like getting an ice cream with a candy bar. But the flake is stuck in the ice cream. Oh,
wow!
And you could get a double 99, which was those cones with two ice creams with two flakes. Oh man, that's good.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, it's good, mate.
Wow.
Yeah. So Susan,
well, way to bring that one out, Susan.
Yeah. So there you go, 99.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
For one.
I know. Come on, mate. You got to get it better this year.
All right.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to Revival Town podcast this week. And make sure you are checking out the website, all the different merch that we have there, revivaltownpodcast.com. And if you want to leave a message or email us, definitely go ahead and do that. And we'll respond, even give you a shout out on the podcast. Right, Chuck?
Right. Like we just did, revivaltownpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, and we will see you next week. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Revival Town Podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head on over to revivaltownpodcast.com.